So what we're going to do for the next few minutes is I'm going to have John Howell come up. John's head of the missions committee. And he's going to come up and give you a little preview of what we're going to talk about next week. Next week, we're really going to look at missions and focus on missions. But today, John just wants to give you a preview. I'm excited what he's going to say, so please pay attention. There's good things just over the horizon, folks. So pay attention, please. Here you go, my friend.
I had to take that mask off so y'all can see that I was smiling ear to ear. Good morning, church. It's good to see everyone here, see everyone in full attendance. It looks like we're getting our numbers back, and we're encouraged by that. As Russell said, what we normally do for a missions briefing is to give a whole month of missions, and in the environment that we're in, we realized that that just wasn't possible. So we're going to be having a missions update next Sunday to talk about our current missions, how they've weathered this storm of 2020 and the COVID, and to hear what they're looking forward to coming in the future. So we're hearing positive things. We know Lord's work is continuing to be done, and there's great things happening all over the world. We're getting great reports, and we can't wait to share those with you. We will also have some of our missionaries here with us, Mindy and Travis, and I think Benny and Donna are going to be here in attendance. So look for them, you know, put a hug around them if you can, and we look forward to hearing about an update of what's going on there. So with that going on, we also have, as Richard's alluded to, we also have some big things going in the church. And what I want to remind you about is the thought exchange that was brought on by the eldership in 2019. In 2019, if you weren't here yet, there was a thought exchange, and that thought exchange focused around what our church should be doing, where our church should be going, what does the future look like, where are the areas that we might need to change, and what are the areas that we could be better at, right? And out of that thought exchange came of really a sense of wanting to be better in local missions. We do a lot of things great overseas, internationally, but we really wanted to figure out how to be focused in local missions. So the mission team got together and talked, and I met with each of the different ministry staffs here, and we realized that we had an asset that we were underutilizing here at this church. We have some land at the back of the property that we feel could be better utilized. And so we put together the idea of what we are calling as a church the mission field. If we have that slide, we can throw that up. The mission field is going to be an area of outreach to our community, to be utilized by our church, to be utilized by the school that meets here. We just see it as an opportunity to use a space that we have to do something big. If you were to look at Google Earth on a satellite image of our surrounding community, and you see the high-density apartment complexes and the stuff that's around us, and even our neighborhoods here, there's no real green spaces. So our thought here is that we create a green space in our lot back there, which currently is really unusable just on how it's been maintained and some things that went on previously, but it's just not a usable space. I first noticed this whenever we had Easter a few years back when I was visiting, and we had it at a park down the street. And while that's great for the community, it really didn't tie in, even whenever that happened, that it was necessarily an event put on by this church. And I'm sitting here going, why don't we have it in the backyard, until I walked out there one day and realized that that would have been a real mess. So it's time to do it. I think God has put us in a position to be able to do it. I know God's hand is in this and in the timing of it, because we need a space that we can also use to gather in. And so what you see here is a potential layout of a field that'll be ready for soccer, for kids to play on. There's a pavilion space there that's potentially 80 feet long, 30 feet wide. It's a big space that some classes could meet in on mornings, or small groups or reunions could use. You'll see a little circle there around there where Justin said, hey, I think it'd be great if we had a little fire pit for our youth group to gather around. And there's also another little open space where you have some place for outdoor meetings or outdoor classes or small groups. And so we're really excited about this. And so what we're asking you in preparation for next weekend is to search your heart. Remember that we are a community that's called to be out among the people. This is an opportunity for us to do that with our neighbors, for us to do that within ourselves, and to do that within our schools. So I feel like this checks a lot of boxes. For this project to get done, we're looking at about a $250,000 number, okay? let that sink in for a second. I know we have very generous people in this church because we have already received multiple $25,000 donations and some $10,000 donations and other donations going towards this. But we're hoping that we can do this in a one-time offering. That's what my challenge is to you, is if this is something that you can see getting behind, that you can see God's work through this in our community and through our church, that if you will come prepared next week to help support that mission, help support the mission field, we would greatly appreciate it. So we're really excited about this. We're really excited to see what 2021 has, and weather permitting, God permitting, and funding permitting, we hope that come Easter, we're out there celebrating Easter in our own field. And I'm telling you, what a day that would be to be here in our community, to have that ready for us, for the people around us, and just to be able to use it. So really hope that you pray upon this, think on this. And if you have any questions, feel free to reach out to me. You can find my email and stuff on the church website under Missions Deacon. So, again, looking forward to this, looking forward to what God has in store for us in 2021. All right, here we go.
I want to reiterate, I'm incredibly excited about this, too. John's been talking about it. We've been talking about it for a while, what this would look like. But the fact that we're actually going to turn that space that's been out there, that was once used as a baseball field way back in the day, that we had to tear down that big screen because it was rusting. This is our opportunity to redo this field. This is our opportunity to be a blessing, not just to ourselves and what we can do, but a blessing to the community of Grapevine. Blessing to the kids who are around here playing soccer, playing baseball, or blast ball for the little kids, or any of that. This is our opportunity to be able to do that, to give back to the community in a way to say, if you have things that you need to go, that need to go on, we can be here for you to help. We can give you that space. So I encourage you, like John says, to pray about this, meditate on this, think about this as we move forward, because I'm excited about that target date of Easter 2021. Let's be honest. Let's just say we're all excited about 2021. I saw something the other day that was talking about daylight savings and this whole fall back thing, and it said, do we really need an extra hour in 2020? Which I was like, good point. So anyway, be praying about this and thinking about this. I know that I'm excited for what is to come and what God is going to do. Secondly, Richard, thank you for your thoughts. I appreciate that. It's always heartwarming to know he listens to me once every now and then. So there we go. But seriously, it was good to hear that from Ecclesiastes as he was saying it. It goes well with my sermon today. It's a reminder that there is nothing new under the sun. Whatever we're going through, there's nothing new under the sun, and it's beyond God's sovereignty. Stand with me as we look at Revelation 4, 11 verses. After this, I looked, and there in heaven a door stood open. And the first voice, which I'd heard speaking to me like a trumpet, said, come up here and I will show you what must take place after this. At once I was in the Spirit, and there in heaven stood a throne with one seated on the throne. And the one seated there looks like jasper and carnelian. And around the throne is a rainbow that looks like an emerald. Around the throne are 24 thrones, and seated on the thrones are 24 elders dressed in white robes with golden crowns on their heads. Coming from the throne are flashes of lightning and rumblings and peals of thunder. And in front of the throne burn seven flaming torches, which are the seven spirits of God. And in front of the throne, there is something like a sea of glass, like crystal. Around the throne and on each side of the throne are four living creatures, full of eyes in front and behind. The first living creature like a lion, the second like an ox. The third with a face like a human face, and the fourth living creature like a flying eagle. And the four living creatures, each of them with six wings, are full of eyes all around and inside. Day and night without ceasing, they sing, holy, 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 the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. And whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to the one who is seated on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall before the one who is seated on the throne and worship the one who lives forever and ever. They cast their crowns before the throne, singing, you are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and by your will they existed and were created. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for this moment that we have. Lord, this moment that we have to just sit and hear your word. And Lord, I pray that our hearts are open, our minds are open to what your spirit wants us to hear, and may it transform us more into your likeness. In your son's name we pray. Amen. Be seated. You may be an ambassador to England or France. You may like to gamble, and you may like to dance. You may be the heavyweight champion of the world. You may be a socialite with a long string of pearls. But you're going to have to serve somebody. Yes, indeed, you're going to have to serve somebody. Well, it may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're going to have to serve somebody. Anybody want to guess who wrote those lyrics? Come on, you know me well enough. Who wrote those lyrics? Bob Dylan. You guessed it. I told Laurie, and Laurie rolled her eyes, and I go, I can't help it that the man knows everything. It's from the lyrics of his song, You Gotta Serve Somebody. And I thought for this last lesson in this series, and the time that we're in, that truth from Dylan rang well with where we're at. And not only that, it paired really well with this revelation in Revelation 4. Because why Revelation? Well, if we really want to talk about it, we're in an interesting time in history. Once every 4 years, we as a country get interested in politics. Tell me that's not the truth. Once every 4 years, we get there. Elections happen, people in power start talking to us, and it, on top of that, this year just feels differently because it's 2020, and nothing's right. And if we're honest with ourselves, many of us are probably just tired of it all. We just wouldn't mind it ending. Well, in a couple days it will, maybe. But I think what we've noticed in this year is this. We've noticed that language has been ramped up. We have to admit that. Language has been not at a 10, but at an 11. It reminds me of who in here has seen Back to the Future. Anybody? Yeah. When Marty McFly is at Doc's house and he has his Gibson guitar and he plugs it into Doc's speaker and turns everything up and he strums that guitar one time and you remember what happens? It blows him backwards about 30 feet. Everything about the language so far this year, I have felt myself like Marty McFly being blown back about 30 feet. The noise is incredible. We can't turn on TV. We can't turn on our computer without the noise being at an 11. The vitriol towards one another has us looking and talking in ways that we never fathomed or is unimaginable to us. It feels like our center has moved. Whatever centered us, it feels like in 2020, we started here, and now we're somewhere over here, wherever this here is. More and more, we see this, which, by the way, is a picture in Dallas, and not enough of this. We see loyalty lines being drawn based on what yard sign you or your neighbor has in their yard. And put this all together, everything that we're dealing with, and I think we need to listen to Revelation 4 for just a little while. Because now more than ever, the experiences of Revelation are an urgent call to all of us who claim Jesus as Lord. All of us who are going through this. Because here's the final lesson that we must learn. Jesus is Lord, and God is on the throne. Jesus is Lord, and God is on the throne. Because here's the thing. Revelation 4 is John looking through the lens of heaven and seeing all of the earthly realities from chapter 4 all the way to chapter 23, John is seeing all the earthly realities in a whole new light. John sees the powers of political figures and empires for who they really are. That they are agents attempting to usurp the claim of God's power in the world. Revelation 4 is the launching point of God, who is exposing the truth to John of the worldly political and powers of the empire. And through it all, John is trying to get one truth through our head. Through it all, John is trying to get us to answer one or understand one thing, and for that one thing to be the center, that God is on the throne. Depending on your version of Scripture, whatever you have, you may notice something in 11 verses. In 11 verses, and I just have the first four up here, but in 11 verses, John uses the word throne 13 or 14 times in 11 verses. You think he's trying to get something across to us? You think he's trying to get us to pay attention to something? You think Jesus isn't trying to get us to stop for a minute and notice something? You think that they're trying to get us to focus on and center on that thing that is in the middle, which is God who is on the throne? You think they want us to know that life, love, value, and faith flow out of this reality, that it all flows out of God's throne? And I want you to hear this today more than anything. As we move into these final stages of this part of our history, all things flow from the Creator's throne. All things which sustains life and love. All good things come from God who sits on the throne. Throughout this cycle, throughout this time, we hear it all the time. There are so many who want us to believe otherwise. They want us to believe that by voting for them, whoever them is, that they can make your life better. That they bring and everything that flows out of them is what is good. As if they hold the keys of power. The gift of Revelation 4 to us is this. It allows us to get a new perspective on the world. We notice in that second verse that John got that new perspective. It says what? I was lifted in the spirit to a different place, to see from a different angle. You know how that is. If you see things from a different angle, you notice things differently. It's like when I bought my wife's first diamond for her, the engagement. And Annalee was just asking about this because Annalee was like, she saw something about someone getting engaged. And she's like, did Dad do all this for you? And I was like, no, I just went to Mom's work and got on a knee and said, will you marry me? I wasn't that great at it. But I remember looking at the diamond, and the guy was showing me the diamond, and he was like, do you notice this? He's like, well, you've got to turn this way to look at the diamond from this angle, and you'll notice this part of the clarity. And here, let's look at it right here. He was all into it, and I was just like, dude, I just need a price. Like, right, literally, I'm 22 years old, I'm a minister, I just need a price. But he was very interested in me seeing it. And what happened was, as you move angles, you notice different things about it. John is now getting a different vantage point. John is now getting a different perspective. John is seeing the counterclaim being made to all the claims by worldly leaders. All the claims that are made from the empires, from the very beginning of time, from Egypt to Rome, and now today, political figures have been trying, they have been attempting to lay claim to an authority and a power and even a worship that is not theirs. They have been attempting to move all of our sinners from here to here. They've been trying to get us in one way, shape, or whatever else, for us to give them their worship to them. And yet through this lens of Revelation 4, through this heavenly lens, John is showing us where our true center of worship should be, where the real world power lies and flows out of. Because as much as they want us to believe it, as much as they want us to believe about power and authority flowing from them, power and authority does not flow out of a Republican. It does not flow out of a Democrat. It will not flow out of Trump. It will not flow out of Biden. It is not in Biden we trust. It is not in Trump we trust. It is only in God we trust. That has to be our claim. And if it's not, then our center is moving more and more and more towards the earthly rulers. The political leaders of today are trying so desperately to move us. They are trying so desperately to take hold of something that is not theirs. They tell us that in order to be a good follower of Jesus, then we have to vote one way or we have to vote the other way, as if they hold a special claim or are an oracle from God, as if they have the right to tell which side God is on, as if God in heaven is a Republican or a Democrat. He's not. That would have been interesting in first century, as I told Ron, if God had been like, just kidding, I'm a Roman. That's not how it works. So anybody who tells us you have to vote one way or the other is antithetical to the very gospel message that we preach. If anything, what John experiences in the throne room is a completely different thing than what the claims of any party that we hear of over the next few days. The 24 elders, did you notice them? The 24 elders who are sitting on the throne, they have their own thrones. They have their own places to sit. But maybe you noticed they're not there very long. Did you notice what the 24 elders did with their thrones? It was their throne surrounded by a bigger throne. And in verse 4, what does it tell us? It says, they're all seated there. They have their golden crowns. They have their power. They have everything they want. But what do they do in verse 10? The 24 elders fall before the one seated at the throne and drop their crowns in front of them. It's as if the 24 elders who have thrones realize exactly where their power comes from. And their power doesn't come from themselves. Their power comes from the one who sits on the throne. To bestow upon one person or one party any kind of authority, of power, any kind of worship is antithetical. They get our vote. They do not get your worship. Did you hear that? I need you to hear that. They get your vote. They don't get your worship. They get your vote. They don't get your worship. And there is a difference. There is a difference in the two. We've heard the rhetoric being used as if we don't vote for a certain party, we're not Christian. How many of you, when you see, including myself, when you see somebody of a different political party or name has a sign in their front yard, do you start questioning the person in the house? Has anybody done that? I know I have. I have. Let's be honest. When we see someone's name in a front yard, we start questioning the person in the house. A lot of times, though, we know that neighbor. We know that person. We know they're a good person. We know who they are. Heck, they may have helped you start your car, change your tire, or mow your lawn. Just because they have a different opinion than you doesn't make them not a Christian. Just because they have a different idea than you doesn't make them a heathen. That's what worldly we leaders want you to believe. The last time I looked, we're all in this together. All of us in here right now, brothers and sisters, who have confessed that Jesus is Lord, have different opinions. I've always told you the best church would be everyone who had my opinion, but it would just be a church of me preaching to nobody else. I like what Michael Gorman says. He says this. He says, only God is worthy to receive what others, especially powerful political figures, may want or demand: total devotion, our praise, and our crowns. Our confession today is this. Our confession today is that God is on the throne and Jesus is the Lord. If we look around this morning, all of us in here have made that confession. That confession in which John shows us in Revelation 4 is our center. It is where our worship should and always be directed. It should be directed as we lay our crowns before the very one sitting on the throne. It is our clarion call that no matter who our brother or sister votes for or did vote for, they are not our enemy. Because the implications of the throne room of Revelation 4 is this, that we all have to answer the very question that Dylan asked us, but also the very question that Peter tells us in 2 Peter 2, verses 19 through 20. Peter says this, they promised them freedom, but they themselves are slaves of corruption. For people are slaves to whatever masters them. I mean, Dylan stole it from Peter. For if after they have escaped the defilements of the world through the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus, they are again entangled in them and overpowered, the last state has become worse than their first. The unveiling of Revelation 4 to John is this, that those that demand your loyalty, those that demand your worship, is the death rattle of a dying earthly kingdom. Get to Revelation 22 and you'll see what I mean. I'm not saying that this isn't important, and I'm not saying that you shouldn't vote. Please, go vote. Vote for you one to vote for. But know this, they get your vote, they don't get your praise. They get your vote, they don't get your worship. Your worship has to center on the one who sits on the throne. The church owes no political candidate its loyalty. The only loyalty we give is the one who sits on the throne. And there is no church of Trump or church of Biden. There is no church of Democrats, and there are no church of Republicans. There is only the church built by the life, death, and resurrection of Christ. We are the body of Christ. Therefore, Christ receives all of our praise. We confess that today. We will confess that tomorrow. And we will confess that on November 3rd, that Jesus is our way, our truth, and our light. It is the way of Jesus and the kingdom of God that Jesus said was coming and is coming forth. Let the power figures try, but it is the kingdom of God that will be everlasting. That is my center. That is where all of our center should be. I pray that it is your center today, and whatever happens come in the next week, know this, God is on the throne and Jesus is Lord. Amen. If you have any needs this morning, come now as we stand and as we sing.